Jamie Clover Adams. I'm the director of the Michigan Department of Agriculture and Rural Development.
Michigan, part of efforts within Indiana and Ohio to improve what's happening within the Western Lake Erie Basin. And with such a wet June and some wet season that we've had this year, it's been predicted to be quite an issue with algae blooms out there. But farmers are reporting good harvest numbers now that we're through the summer season. What is the latest with the health of the lake and what's happening being reported in Lake Erie?
Well, I think the health of the lake, I was just there a couple of days ago, and the boaters were letting us know that, you know, the algae was not great this summer, that they did, you know, see some getting into their propellers and out on the lake when they were out recreating, but it was not as bad as the year before. So, you know, that year-to-year change, that really isn't significant. It's the long-term change that you're looking for. And we're seeing some long-term change in the River Raisin Basin, which is one part of Michigan's in the Great Lake or in the Western Lake Erie Basin. And data is showing that total phosphorus loads have reduced 49% in the last 7 or 8 years. And I think for me, that means that all of the work that farmers have been doing with buffer strips and cover crops and tile outlets is paying dividends. And now we just need to go back and study, okay, what was it that helped us make those reductions, and then how can we replicate that in other parts of the basin?
As you're collecting data from farm fields and at different points along leading to Lake Erie, 2015 still a wet season, and to be seeing reductions like that over a long period of time, what are some things that perhaps made a difference this year versus earlier when data started to be collected?
Well, I think, you know, the data has been collected in the River Raisin for a very long time by Heidelberg University, but I think it's just, you know, the state in working with NRCS and USDA and farmers more than 15 years ago, the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, we have 23,000 acres of buffer strips in that sub-basin. And I think those, I mean, we all know that those reduce phosphorus by 65% to 70%. Farmers put those in. Farmers are now looking at their tiles and drainage control structures that, you know, serve the benefit of keeping the nutrients on the field, plus make water available when the season's a little bit drier in the summertime. So we've seen those. We visited a farm in Monroe County where they had these tile control outlets on their farm since the 1990s, and I think that is a story. I think the other part of this story is not agriculture. There are those who believe that the biological changes happening in the lake are also contributing to this issue. We have quagga mussels now in Lake Erie, and they are filtering the water so that the phosphorus can go down further into the lake. And there are some who believe that too is part of the issue.
For invasive species coming into the Great Lakes, how long have they been there and been creating this issue?
Well, I don't know exactly, but when you talk to people that have been working this issue for a very long time, they talk about how, you know, Lake Erie was on the decline 20 or 30 years ago. People worked hard. They brought it back. And now, you know, in the last 10, 15, 20 years, it's been on the decline again. And that's about the time that those quagga mussels were introduced into the lake. So there's some correlation. It's not, you know, I think the takeaway message is it's not just one thing. It is all the contributions, and so we all have to do our part to help the lake be healthier.
As far as some of the information getting collected here in Michigan and throughout the Western Lake Erie Basin, how is the health of the lake being monitored and to its original sources?
Well, I think, you know, through the Farm Bill, we were able to bring money into the basin. We worked together with Ohio and Indiana, brought about $17.5 million over a 5-year period to help farmers put in practices that will reduce nutrient loss. As you can imagine, the bulk of that money is going into Ohio because they make up the bulk of the basin. And I know that they are working hard with their farmers. They had a significant number of applications that were granted, I think 75 or better, farmers putting in buffer strips and cover crops and getting funding for soil testing and other things like that. So I think they're moving down the right road. You know, in Ohio, they also, because they weren't as far along as we were, they have passed legislation that is requiring farmers to, in fertilizer application, much like pesticides, they have to sit for a test and be certified. So they're doing some different things. I think we're just building on programs that we've had for a long time. They're building new ones. I know in Indiana, you know, they're creating a map of every time cover crops or buffer strips or other things go in, that's being put into a GIS-type database. And we all know that all of those practices, NRCS and our universities know very well how they function, and so they're able to talk about how much of a reduction in nutrients we're seeing from those practices. So I think right now everybody's just really focused on getting practices on the ground and working with farmers and helping to educate them about the issues that we face. And I think down the road, then we'll see more measurement. We were just lucky in Michigan that Heidelberg was already taking data along the River Raisin.
Well, Jamie, we appreciate today's update. Any last comments?
I think, as I said before, I think, you know, it's really important, you know, for those of us in agriculture to do our part. It's also important for people to understand that this isn't a one sector or one part of a sector issue, that this is a complex problem, and we all need to work together to solve it.